This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast for the third week in a row, because we got to give the people what they want, and here we are. Here in the, like, I think, to kind of pull behind the curtain, we're here in the wee hours of the morning talking about this show due to schedule thing. So it's me and my bedfellow, Adam Murray. How you doing, Adam?
It's not the third week in a row. We added an extra episode because it was a big, you know, we couldn't take a week off with the trade.
No, not because we're on schedule. Yeah.
We are on schedule, yeah. So we're good.
we did have to talk about the trade deadline. It was an interesting show. It was good to recap everything, and then you have that stretch. I don't remember the exact way that the trade deadline versus the All-Star break, like the distance and time, used to work before they reshuffled everything with the new CBA or the new television contract, but I really want to say that there was at least maybe like 2 weeks. Or, you know what, I'm thinking about it, I think the trade deadline was after the All-Star break. Am I correct?
It was after, because remember,
we
had mentioned last week, Cousins was in New Orleans for the All-Star break, and he just stayed.
Right, and I remember this one. Do you remember this one? They went to Dallas, and they David Stern, one of the biggest basketball crowd of all time. They had like 100,000 people in Jerry's Place. And I remember there was a rumor going around during that All-Star weekend that Amari Stoudemire might go to the Cavaliers. Do you remember that one? When LeBron was in his last year with Cleveland.
So, no.
You don't remember that? I remember that one for sure.
Because the problem with rumors is they're always, after it doesn't happen, you just sort of forget about it. Like, oh, remember they were supposed to trade, you know, Kobe for Iverson straight up? Like, no, I don't remember that.
No,
because it
do,
never happened.
And I do remember one. I remember that they almost traded. This was before his MVP season in 2001. They almost traded Iverson to the Pistons. But the reason why it didn't happen is because Matt Geiger had a no trade clause and he exercised it, and it scuttled the whole deal. And then he won the MVP that next season. So,
if it doesn't happen, and it just details fall by, but you know, this is the All-Star break. So this is time for everybody to
exhale.
Exhale number one, and two, look where you are. This is okay. This is we're at the last push. We're at the last 20 some odd games. We need to know, are we all in? Are we all out? What do we do? So this is let's reevaluate the team. So we this week are going to reevaluate our predictions.
Yeah. So when we did our prediction shows in the fall, we did it. We decided to format it to try to make it entertaining, because we always want to entertain the listeners and ourselves. But I was trying to think of something else to say, but it just didn't work. But so we did it as a way where it's like almost like a luxury hotel or like a hotel grounds. It's like, what kind of level are you at and what tier are you at as a team? And we sort of clustered them all together. Now it feels like we're revisiting the rooms, and some of the results of these rooms once they've been occupied, or Some look nice and clean, and the others look like a murder scene.
Well, no comment. Well, basically, what you're trying to say is we reference the Vegas betting line, so we're gonna see what teams have done in regards to the Vegas betting line, and did Vegas even know what they were talking about?
Right, because we talked about we predicted either over or under on the projected wins and losses, wins betting line for all the NBA teams, and we're gonna just kind of go back and recollect and see how we did. I feel like we already saw the results when we did our research, and it's half and half. I think we got more right than we did wrong. I'll say that one.
Well, let's find out.
Okay, let's start with, because we don't have the Albuquerque Anteaters yet. I just want a team before the ATL to be in the team, just because I'm tired of saying the Atlanta Hawks, because we always do alphabetical. But, do you think there'll be relocation at some point in the next 10 years?
If it is, it's Seattle.
Maybe Oklahoma City go back to Seattle? when Clay Bennett's like, you know, George Shinn did that. George Shinn with the Hornets when he relocated to New Orleans. He was like, you know what? I don't want the team anymore. And they had to sell it to the league, and they finally got Tom Benson to buy it. But I can see Clay Bennett just basically being like, you know, me and David had a pact. He's gone. I'm on the way out. I don't want it anymore. And they go back to Seattle.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. Well, it has to be with an A because I'm tired of this. But anyways, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. They had obviously a really nice finishing stretch to last season. So that's predictive to like where a lot of people thought they were going to go. So the over and under on them was 46.5 wins. And they definitely had a really, really rough start. They had one stretch where they lost 10 home games in a row. So yikes. Trey Young's having a great year, but right now they're at the 28 win mark. So you helped put together how many wins or what their record for the remaining games of this season would be in order to reach the number that the over under was set at the line. Tell me what this one is.
You have explained this in the most complicated way possible.
Tell me how many wins the Atlanta Hawks have to win in order to get to the betting line, which is 46.5.
So Atlanta has 28 wins. The Vegas permit 46. Therefore, they need to go 19-5.
Yeah, 19-5. I don't think that's going to happen. I will say this, though. Last season, when they got into the playoffs, they got very hot. I want to say they almost had a similar record, or maybe they were like something in the nature of like 15-5 to finish the season. So could it happen? Yes. The likelihood is no.
All right, moving on.
All right, the Boston Celtics, 46.5 was the number. I think a lot of people were high on the fact that they got rid of Kemba. They had Tatum and Brown to basically have the floor to themselves. And they struggled early. They're not really good in the clutch, but their defense has really picked up in the back half of the season. So it's going to be close. Like they're right now at 34 wins. They need 13 to get to that number, which would be 13-9. I think they'll do better than that.
13-9 is if they play 500, they're at 12-11, 11-12.
That's what I'm saying. I can see him struggling and going under 500 to finish.
See, and this is the tricky part of this. You could be like, oh yeah, they're totally going to do it. But we don't know the end of the schedule. We don't know if they have two games against, you know, Orlando and against all these tanking teams, or they could just be on we got the back-to-back against Milwaukee this time. So
yeah,
it's good.
I'm sorry. The thing is, I think a lot of experts were kind of split on them. There were some people who were giving up on the Celtics because it felt like they were kind of pushing for a more of a younger crew. And then there were a lot of people who were bullish on them. Like they thought that, you know, just because of the talent at the top, and if Robert Williams III has a breakout season, then they were going to be like a 40 to 50 win team. And that's kind of like right down the middle between 40 and 50. I don't know. Like, were you surprised by where they're at this point?
According to this, they're right on path to get to 46.5. So, a 9-game win streak does help, but it's totally plausible. Now, moving on next.
Okay.
I'm going to take the technicality. I'm going to take the loophole and say we got out of this one.
All right. Yeah, that we opted out.
We didn't opt out. I'm going to say next up, obviously, is Brooklyn. Their line could have been like 65, and everybody like, we're taking the over. They're the best team of all time.
I was bullish on them. I thought they were going to get red hot to start.
It was the preseason. This had all just happened, so it was going to be, you know, there's no way to stop them. However, they did find ways to stop themselves. Plus, the whole team is made of glass and just gets COVID every other week. So obviously, Brooklyn is not going to make their 54.5. There, yeah. It's mathematically impossible. They can't win every game and still make it. However, we officially did not pick in over or under.
So we talked over
all along, but we never gave our explicit they will be over. So I'm going to take that and say we did not pick the over on them. We are the only podcast who officially did not say they were going to be over.
We didn't say hit me. at the blackjack table. I thought I remembered saying near the tail end of the preview, I think they could win 60 games or something
we
like that.
We implied that. It was heavily like, oh, they can easily win 60. And you'll
let's be real, Adam. If all three played at full health, 60 wins?
If the team was what we thought they were, like the small sampling size we had of these three, oh yeah, easily.
Yeah, they'll always have, I always joke, they always will have that Boston series. And the one, you know what I'm, because you follow the Celtics, you know, for what you do, like the one that they had, I think it was what, game four, and Tatum had 50 points. He had a great game, but Harden and Durant and Irving, like, it's a ridiculous number. I'd have to look it up, but they combined for like well over 100 points and 30 rebounds and 40. It was some ridiculous number. And that was when I was like, oh man, they can make this work. They could win a title doing this, but not to be. Charlotte Hornets. There was no line given.
We didn't even get to the Vegas over and under for some reason.
Do you remember what it was?
I don't know. It probably just based upon where they were sort of predicted to finish. They have to be sort of the 42-ish, I would say. Well, 42 and a half would seem 43, maybe.
If that's the case, the smart guys knew something because that was their win total right now is at 29. If they wanted to get to 40, they'd probably have to get in the range of I would probably say what? Just over 500, like 12 and 10 or something like that. So it's pretty close.
I assume they probably would have been at probably maybe 41 and a half because the Bulls were also a very Bulls are next, and they were given a very low ball number of 41 and a half.
Yeah, I thought it was low. Now, some people thought that the ceiling was low for that team because of the fact that they didn't have a lot of depth behind them. I think a lot of people were obsessed with the fact that.
Well,
and also the fact that DeRozan and LaVine had bad defensive efficiency numbers, and they thought that their defense was going to be terrible.
And there's no spacing amongst that team, and how can they all play together? Well, nobody knew DeRozan would be a first team All-NBA type year.
He might be in the MVP race right now. I think he's usurped Durant in the – if you're doing a MVP rankings, I'd say he usurped Durant because Durant got injured. But your top four is consistent with last year. It's Embiid, Giannis, Curry, and Jokic. Take your pick of who you think.
That's why I said being fifth place in the MVP race is you have seven votes.
Injury issues I think have held them back just a little bit. But
COVID issues. They were the first team to officially go out, so – They lost all those early games.
I don't know if I've talked about this, but their defense is starting to slack. Like, they're now 20th in efficiency, which people thought they were going to be. Their defense was great to start. I think they wanted to kind of, like, show up a lot of the league experts who thought they weren't going to play defense. But now they're starting
Patrick
to kind of slack.
Patrick Williams going out for the majority of the year.
Story is that he'll be back.
Because it was his wrist, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, wrist surgery.
Yeah, so you wrist. Can come out. You could still play with... You know, he doesn't even shoot anyways.
And Caruso was a huge help. Iudasumu has helped out a lot.
He's been like the bench savior to that team.
I had said verbatim 48, maybe 50 wins. That's close. Like I think they'll get to 50 wins.
Yeah, you said they can be, you're like, oh, I'm definitely taking the over. This can be a 48 to 50. That's why I extracted that quote exactly. And you're like, oh no, this is definitely a hard over.
But the line was 41 and a half. They're going to surge past that. And for those who are like, well, you're not talking about the teams too much. I mean, we have 30 teams to talk about. We'll always have time to do deep dives. So let's move on to Cleveland. I think this one's going over.
We knew one of the bad teams, you know, I had said this early. I said it in the previews a lot, like everybody can't be bad in the East. One of the teams is going to surprise. I was like, Cleveland or Detroit, one of those teams will be better than everybody thinks. And the way Cleveland, you know, 25 over and under, they're at 35. Yeah, they're totally easy money for those few believers.
Yeah, but I think everybody was surprised.
That's a very weird roster. That weird roster is not going to work. And it turns out, oh no, that weird roster does work for them.
And also Evan Mobley is such a perfect fit for what they needed and just plugged all the holes.
Just straight up rookie of the year right there. And
Jared Allen, nice
year.
Makes your
team better.
Is he in the All-Star game? I think he was a reserve. Like he got selected. Right.
He was a replacement. He was not the last replacement.
What about the all-time dunk poster that he received from Joel Embiid?
Yeah. There's all-time dunk posters like every other week now.
At least he challenged it. I'll say this for Jared Allen. He goes up there. Like Rudy Gobert. He's like, look, if I get stuffed, I get stuffed, but let me try it. So, yeah, 25 and a half was there. Right now, they're at 35 already. Let's just up the ante. Do you think they're going to get to 50 wins?
No.
No?
They're not going to go 16-4.
I don't know, man. They get hot sometimes.
They're not going to go 16-4.
Let's go to the West. Dallas Mavericks, their prediction was 47 and a half. I think some people were kind of sketchy about Jason Kidd as a coach. You went under, I went over. They're at 30.
We did technically split, but we both said 47 and a half. 47 is about where they should be. And you took 48 and I took 47. Like, it was one of those, oh no, you were like, damn you, Vegas. This line is too perfect for me.
And it's right down the finish line because they would have to get 13 wins, which would be 13-10 for the remaining games to get to that point. They oh yeah, for sure.
Like it's one of those like, yeah, they're going to Vegas, has them pegged right on.
Luka Doncic numbers are just absolutely ridiculous. He had that game. He had those two games against the Clippers where he just went off 28 points in a quarter. And then my Pelicans. Oh my God. 49-15-8-7-3. So yeah. Luka's going off. They did trade away Porzingis, but I think Dinwiddie's already playing and he seems okay. They even played Davis Bertans. I saw Davis Bertans play basketball.
He did. There's a Bertans sighting.
Denver Nuggets. This one was hard because we knew about Jamal Murray being absent for the majority of the season, that his likely return would be around March or April. And it's still on track for that. Michael Porter Jr.'s injury, I think, hurt them. And they did struggle in the mid, like kind of in that in-between area. But now they're starting to look good. I think they feel good about getting Porter back. Murray's definitely coming back. The over-under was 47.5. I think we both went over, right?
You were very unconfident with the over.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him, but I don't want to.
Yeah, but there's an asterisk to that that we'll get to the end when we talk about our big predictions. The All-Star win total is right now at 33. They would have to go 15-9. That's obvious. That's pretty reasonable. I would say they're probably going to do better than that.
I don't see it's one of those they could, but right now when you get to those last 20 games, you're looking at the do I want to be in the play-in? Can I make it to the top two or three, who's my matchup going to be? So there's a lot of, especially those, when you get to those last five games, there's a lot of chess going on. So yeah, I can also see them going 9-15. So
let me ask you a question. Because Jokic had a pretty nice week. He had a game winning block and a game winning assist to Monte Morris. Number one, is Jokic a better defensive player than he's given credit for? Or do you think he just had really good moments at center coming up with blocks? Like, do you think he's a good defensive player?
No, because he's like being outside of Gobert. Mm-hmm. Like, they're very, because Gobert has like sneaky fast feet.
Yeah, he's good at, like, he can switch on people. I think the biggest problem is that he's such a force inside that teams have figured out if we go super small and we go five out, it doesn't render Gobert ineffective. He can go out there and challenge and close out. It just takes him away from the rim, which is the goal.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is when you play Utah, you can either shoot your way in or shoot your way out. But that's you for Utah. We are on D for Denver. So Jokic, he's a good defender, but he's just a big man center who's just going to stay down. If you run into him, he will block your shot. But, you know, he doesn't have lateral quickness.
And he's got that high release. So if he's at the arc kind of surveying to try to find an open pass and can't find it, he's just going to launch a three. So
yeah, and he has the high IQ, so he doesn't need to chase after you because he knows, okay, I need to be right here if you're going to shoot it. So he's got implausible.
Yeah, he's got the recipe factor.
Moving on next, I will let you have your moment.
For the Detroit Pistons? Why would I have a moment with the Detroit Pistons? I don't like those guys.
Because I picked the over and I said they're going to be good and they're better than they were. Well, Cade Cunningham was out for things.
Wasn't Cade out for the first 2 to 3 weeks?
Yeah, he was out for the first month or so, and they took him very slow after that, and they continue to be slow with him. But I was like, everybody's going to make an improvement. Nobody did. He'd be like, oh, no, you were completely wrong on them, and I was ready for you to say, look, you got it completely wrong, but you didn't, so.
No, no, it's not that bad. The over-under was 26.5. They're at 13. They're not going to have a winning record down the stretch unless Cade just explodes in the back half of this rookie season. I don't see that happening.
They're not going to, because that will harm their draft stock, so they're just going to be, no, let's just sort of make our way and do what we can. Moving on next.
The Golden State Warriors. I definitely took an L on this one. I thought they were going to go under. I really wasn't sure about that supporting cast behind Steph and Clay. I also didn't expect Draymond Green to have a really nice, I wouldn't say bounce back season, because he had a good year last year, but he's really played well this year before he had the injury to his back. And even without Clay, like Steph and the supporting role have players have just been really, really good, playing great defense. Curry was on a tear until he had a kind of a bad month in January. February, I think he's been good. He's definitely out of the, I think he's out of the front runner MVP. He's not the front runner.
Oh, yeah, he has definitely cooled off.
He's still there. Like, if he really surges in, like, March, I think he could get it back. But the over-under was 49.5. They're at 42. They only need 8 wins to get to it. Yeah, easy.
So you could take the technicality with me. Because you took the straight under. I didn't even pick. Although my conversation implied a heavy over.
Right.
Because I'm like, they're going to come back. Clay is going to give them 5 wins easily just from him being on there. After, I'm like, yeah, because it's going to be, as it happened, he played 22 minutes and took 22 shots. Those 22 minutes. I'm like, well, of course you're going to come along slow. But I didn't officially make a pick. So I didn't agree with you. Because most of the time it was just like, you're like, oh, I'll take the under. Yeah, okay. And then we moved on. But this one I didn't even pay attention or.
Yeah. And the magic number now is 60 these days. Like if you're really, really good, I don't think they're going to get to 60. Like, do you think they'll get there?
To get to 60, they got to go 18 and.
They get on a roll, but then they lose like a few in a row. Like that. Also,
see them going 18 and 5. I could see because there're going to be times where, well, we need to rest our players and we need just to keep them fresh for the playoffs. So I don't see that happening.
And Clay's looked okay. He has some good ones, but let's just move on to this one, because I need to check how many steps I walked that day on my freaking phone, because I must have been just dizzy. I picked the over on the Houston Rockets at 24.5. Dude, the Houston Rockets are the least entertaining team to watch in the league. Period.
That's why I couldn't believe, because, okay, as we said, with these all these super bad teams, everyone can't be, 18 and, 58 or whatever.
Right.
18 and 62.
Somebody
has to be the over. And I'm like, no, Houston's not. They're going to give Jalen Green the ball. They're going to have him be MCW that first year of the Philly tanking.
Yes.
Go shoot everything you want. We don't care. We're not going to put anything around you. And, like, this is the biggest disservice you can do in him. And you watch him play. It's like, he is not good. He's just chucking up shots. He's making them, but he's not making anyone around him better. Nobody's playing around him. Alperen Sengun, who I was high on, has, I guess, some sort of injury troubles or whatever, but he seems to have disappeared from my... Usman apparently is a bigger project than we thought. And Garuba's then nobody else.
Garuba's got an injury. He's out for a while. So.
Okay. And nobody else has done anything on the team. That team just looks terrible in every way, shape, and form.
When you need Garrison Matthews to come out and be like your energy guy, you're in trouble. Also, strife within the locker room with like Christian Wood not getting along with the coaches, Kevin Porter Jr. being himself.
Despite Jr. leaving at halftime of the game because he was pissed off.
And then hitting a game winner about 2 days later. But it's just a really weird team. They did have a stretch where they lost, I think they lost 15 in a row and then they won 8 in a row or something like that. They got super hot in December. And
that's what happened. The NBA is going to happen. Mm-hmm. They, over and under is 24.5. They're at 15. They need to go 10 and 14. I don't see that happening because that ruins their draft position as well.
I have watched them. I the Pelicans played them twice in a row not too long ago. Oh, my God. They're so bad. They are so bad.
Next, now is your chance to call in your Hail Mary.
Okay.
We have the Indiana Pacers. The over and under was 41 and a half for some reason. We both looked at that line. We're like, that is a heavy under. We are so taking the hard under. Right now they're at 20. They need to win out. And can they go 22-0?
And when we when we previewed them, like, we talked about how it was just too much stasis. Like, they're like, and it's not, you don't have to shake up every single team in order to get better or get worse or tank. It's just like, it felt like they were kind of stuck. So when I looked at the the thing that kind of made this a little tougher for us that we didn't talk about at the top is that they didn't play 82 games in the 2021 season. They played 72 because of the late start. So you're kind of trying to project out, all right, let's see what Vegas thinks. Do they think they're going to get to a certain point if they played the 82 games? I know there was that scare in the middle of the season with Omicron, but it looks like they're going to make it up and, you know, knock on wood, we're not going to have that situation where we have any stalled games anymore. But that seemed like, it just seemed weird to think, oh yeah, the Pacers will be better because they have Rick Carlisle. I'm like, dude, a coach is not going to turn you around. No, talent turns you around.
You know, a coach can get you a couple wins, but just moving on.
Yeah, they would literally have to go 22-0 to get to it, like on the money. Like, that's no. Tyrese Haliburton's look great though. I think he's gonna be the future there.
Oh yeah, that was, they got a steal in him.
Him and Brogdon together, Brogdon's still hurt, but like when they get together for like a full season, okay.
Brogdon will probably be got traded.
Yeah, he'll be tradable by that point. Because mm-hmm. The reason why he wasn't traded is because he signed the extension. But
on to the City of Glass. We'll start with the most cursed team.
You mean the Crypto Center? Because we got the back-to-back teams in L.A. So the Clippers, their over-under was 45.5 wins. Everyone knew that Kawhi Leonard was going to be out for a significant amount of time. It was still kind of wishy-washy about whether he was going to be back for the season. I think it's still kind of up in the air. You know, Tyronn Lue had said that he's probably not going to play this year. And I think there are some people that might think he'll try to come back. Then Paul George went out. Paul George had a great start to the season. Like the first 2 months, he was awesome. Then he gets wrist surgery. He's still not back yet. They've really tried hard. Like they're in the play-in scenario. I'm going to be honest. I know that they're probably not going to hit their number. They'd have to go 16-5 to get to the predictive number, but I feel like they've overachieved.
Oh, they've totally overachieved. And you know, again, this was another no pick was made.
Because of Kawhi.
It was 45.5. We just didn't skip it. We heavily implied the under because of lack of Kawhi. And then, you know, you trade for Norman Powell, who then gets injured as well.
Broken foot. Yep.
So
not good.
It's just, they are just terrible, terrible luck. I think it's just of some of the negative karma from the next team, the Lakers, and the pure disdain from most of the non-Lakers fans towards that team. 51.5, mathematically eliminated already.
One of the only ones who, based off of this show, is already out of the picture.
Because on paper, you have to go, well, you added Russ, you should win, you should be able to figure it out. However, we all said, oh, it's not going to work in real life because there'll be no spacing and they're too old. And it turned out there's no spacing and they're too old and there's no bench. And, you know, Davis is out for a month, at least a month now with that.
Oh, that was a very scary. It was on Gobert's shoe, and that was a scary ankle. I thought he broke it.
It looked very, very, I'm laughing. He's injured. I'm like, okay, let me see it. Oh, like, oh no, this one looks really ugly.
Let's be fair. I wasn't laughing at the injury.
I know.
I was laughing at the situation because the Pelicans have their future. They own their future.
It was just, things do not translate in text if I did not read between the lines of, I can't believe, like, oh no, this was a not a good looking one. But unfortunately for GM LeBron, you wanted Russ and you wanted to trade everything away for Russ. You could have had Buddy Hield. Imagine having Buddy Hield in there, sit in the corner, shooting threes, spacing things out. Oh, they would have been.
Imagine not giving away the future in 29. Listen, I think they could have gotten that deal done with AD. I think LeBron was accelerating it because he wanted AD in the fold before the contract was up so that he could try to win that championship in 2020. And it did work out for them. They won the title that first year they were together in the bubble, but they gave up so much in that 2019 trade that they could not trade draft picks just to get off of Russ. It came back to bite them.
Well, they could have traded Russ, just the report was they didn't want to add
salary. But no one wants a 2027 pick. They want a pick in the next couple of years because they think the Lakers are going to suck again in a couple of years.
And another team, moving on, everybody was wrong on, and I mean everybody, the Grizzlies.
Yes. I thought they were going to be good. I said on the preview, and I remember saying it, that I thought the Grizzlies were definitely going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but we also said the under because everybody else, the West, was getting better. And we were all wrong because we didn't expect, you know, Ja to be insanely good this year and the team to, because we, you know, the problem with them was, well, they made a ton of moves. We don't know if any of those work. Oh, it turns out the moving all those pieces did work. And they were able.
We didn't like the fact that they were basically voluntarily working as like this, like third party propriety type of team to like fit contracts in that nobody wanted, and they didn't wind up keeping really any of them because I think one of them was Eric Bledsoe and he was out, and another one was Patrick Beverley and he was out. The only one they really wound up with that they didn't initially want at all was Jarrett Culver, but he's not really in the rotation anyway. But that team is just super athletic. They rebound well. The one thing that I still have I'm still sketchy about with Memphis going into the playoffs is that they're the third. And this is the thing I wasn't sure about when the season started and why I went under, is that they're the third youngest team in the league. The only teams that are younger than them, I think, are Orlando and Oklahoma City. So you really wonder how that's going to play out in the playoffs. So, I mean, we'll talk, we can expand on the Grizzlies another time, but basically Morant, MVP level year. He's probably going to win most improved player also. Desmond Bane, awesome second year for him too. Jared Jackson Jr. looks good. Everybody seems to be on the same page. Good for Memphis. I mean, I'm glad that they were able to pass that line.
All right, moving on. Miami Heat was a tricky one because their line literally kept moving we didn't record them all in alphabetical. So whenever I created the list, their line went from 46.5 to 49.5 by the time I think we actually hit them. So people were betting on them highly.
I don't think it matters. I think they're going to go over 49 anyway. They're at 38. And if it's 49, they only need 11 wins. I think they're going to do it.
They just always overachieve. Milwaukee, always they're expected to be 53.5. They're at 38.
I thought that was too low.
And that's where they're doing what they should be doing. Minnesota. All right. Minnesota was a tricky one because their over and under was 32. I was like, I said they should win 40, but you never bet on Minnesota the same way people said you can't bet on the Bengals because they always suck and they will lose in the first round of the playoffs.
And I think we were prisoners of the moment because I remember right when we did that preview, Gershon Rosas, the GM, was fired. And yeah, we're like, oh, look at this toxic situation again. You know, one of my big predictions that we'll talk about later involved Minnesota.
We said on paper, I said, they should win 40. There's no reason this team can't win 40. They're at 31 right now. 40 is totally feasible, but Minnesota just had to shed the Minnesota label, and it looks like they're doing that this year. For good, so good on them. Gloss over. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, no. I want to stew for a little bit on Minnesota so I can bide my time for New Orleans. So let me just say, do you think Anthony Edwards having that really good sophomore breakout was the reason, or do you think it's just Carl Anthony Towns just slightly improving on defense?
Honestly, I say it's health because somebody was always out on that team. If Cat wasn't out, Ben Russell was out. It was always one of those two couldn't be on the court at the same time. They've all been healthy, and you know Russell hasn't. I don't think he's lived up to that.
He's had some speed bumps injury wise this year, but he hasn't missed that many.
Ticky tack injuries will happen.
I'll say this for Russell. He's had some great games. Like he's had some games where it's like, man, that's the D'Angelo Russell I remember in Brooklyn.
And that's the, you know, their bench is awfully weak. They have people, but there's nobody who's going to put them over the top. So they need those three guys to play, and they have been playing. Okay, Pelicans.
You want to talk about New Orleans? Okay. So the over-under was at 39.5. I hopefully went over. You went with the under. I think you're gonna feel good about that one because they're at 23 wins. They got to go at least 17-6. I don't even with the CJ McCollum trade. McCollum's looked good so far.
They have been 1-5 since the trade.
Why did you have to say that out loud, Adam?
Why? Like I thought, like
I was trying. I was trying to cover it all up, and you just had to fucking just say it right there up front.
They were going all in, and for some, I'm like, how do they keep losing? McCollum looks like he's doing good. The stat line looks good, and
was one thing we said on the trade deadline recap last show? I was worried about their defense because McCollum has a reputation for not being a good one-on-one defender. Their defense has been terrible. I watched them play Miami, and every starter from Miami went to town on him, including Kyle Lowry.
Okay. So the next three we will blow through real quickly.
Yes.
Because
I don't want to talk too much about the New York Knicks.
They want a mulligan for the season so hard. They want Kemba Walker to go. They want Fournier to go.
Everybody went over. Everybody was going bing bong. They thought that they were going to go to 50 wins and go to the championship or, you know, because New York is crazy. They have to go 18-5 to get to the.
And they're blaming Thibodeau now, management is, for saying they don't like the way he's doing with their roster. It's just like, okay, things are getting ugly there. Oklahoma City, everyone predicted them to be bad. 22.5.
Worst team in the league, or one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah.
They're at 18. Sort of overachieving. They need to go 5-19. I think that's feasible because they still have to, you know, you still have to play Houston and other bad teams. So I think they can eke out 5th.
They've had their moments of like looking like the worst ever. Remember that one against the Memphis Grizzlies? What was it? 70 points.
Yeah. And then you see other teams not play them and they get a little better.
Let me say three keys and then we'll move on. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's had a great year before he had his injury at the All-Star break. Josh Giddey's been a good rookie and defense. They're playing good defense.
Orlando, the official worst team in the league. Over and under is 24.5. They have 13. They need to go 10-12. Not going to happen because that team is bad. Moving on. Oh, let's not even give any other thought to them. Philly, over and under is 51. They need to go 17-7.
Well, here's the thing, Adam. The algorithm changed. Like now you're looking at this team and saying, listen, trade deadlines, they don't put like a little thing on a footnote on the bottom of these bets and saying, you know, the trade deadline might change all these rosters. Like you go in expecting that, but when you bring in Harden and we haven't seen him yet because I don't know what he's doing. He did a press conference.
He's rehabbing his hamstring and he's ready to come back after the All-Star break. So they need to go 17-7. Can it happen?
Yes. Look, okay. They can do that. They can go on a run. But I can see them being like kind of like fluttering around 500 and they get a 4 seed and they just get on a roll in the playoffs because Harden like wakes up all of a sudden. Like I'll go safely because of Embiid being on such a tear.
17-7 is kind of hard. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Well, here's the thing. Like you were talking about tanking. Well, tanking's easy. Like I know they have multiple teams trying to lose, but it's easy to lose the games when you get up there after the All-Star break and you have these teams trying to up the ante and trying to get in the playoffs and get a good seed and move up the standings. You're right. It gets harder because now you're going to be playing these teams. Ooh, this win wasn't as easy as I thought it was.
Well, you have to go 17-7, but you have Embiid, who you have to sort of be like, we can't have him go all out. We can't have him get injured. You have Harden, who apparently wants to be made of paper mache and wants to maybe I should take today off. So lots of questions there. Next requires no talk whatsoever.
Phoenix Suns
over and under 50.5. They're at 48. Easy slam dunk. Everybody expected it. Easy money.
Let's just say this. Do they get to 65 wins?
No.
So they don't go 66 or 67 because they're on track.
I don't think they're going to go. I think they'll be like 62-ish.
Let me ask you this. Like when you were like watching like the standings as like growing up, what was your magic number for like, oh, that's a great team? Was it 65 wins, 62 wins?
Well, 65 is a great team. If you're just high 50s, I'm like, you're a solid. I also had very low, lowish standards because when I was too young, it was the great, great Celtics. And the Celtics started getting old in the late 80s and 90s. But they're still good. But you know what? We can accept a little lower the win total.
I had no dog in the fight until the Hornets got to New Orleans in college, who we basically stole from Charlotte. But like for me, it was always 63. or 62, because 20 wins or less, 20 losses or less is like amazing. Like
see, that, I expected, you know, high 50s because 60 was sort of the benchmark of, oh, wow, you were, you know, 60 and 22. That's hugely awesome.
Yes.
So I'm like 58 is, you know, you guys were good, but, you know, a couple didn't bounce your way. Portland, we were 100% correct.
Over yeah, I don't think they're going to win 50 games.
44 and a half. They're at 25. They're in full tank mode now. It's all let's give Simons and every other rookie every possible chance to come.
I thought Damian Lillard was going to win the scoring title. Like, I thought he was going to go on a tear.
That's it happens. Sacramento, interesting pick because they have gone all in. Their over and under was 35 and a half. They're at 22. They need to go 14 and 8. They want to go 14 and 8. But the question is, can they?
It depends on if Fox and Sabonis can really start to fit. We've seen a few games with them together. Sabonis has looked okay. Fox has been on a tear. Like, he's actually been scoring really well and shooting the ball well. I think the biggest thing for Fox is that he's got to start making threes. That's the biggest hitch in this game.
I think 14 8 is a little too lofty for them.
I would say no, they're not going to get it.
Spurs, I will quickly gloss over this one. Over and under 29 and a half. You predicted the under.
I thought they were going to be the worst team in the league.
They're at 23. They need to win 7 more games to reach that number. Is the pop level at 8 or 9 games now?
Like, oh, plus?
No, Popovich needs to win 8 more games to be the all-time coach winner.
Oh, I don't know. He really don't know.
He's under 10 games, so they, I think, will hit that over and under just to get him the record.
One of the things I said at the tail end of our predictions is that I thought that Popovich, this might be his last year. So, I mean, what do you think?
If he gets the scoring thing, he might. If not, I could see one more year just to get the record.
Who is he passing? Don Nelson?
Is it? I think so.
It's not Phil Jackson. I know it's not Phil, but because Phil had that year or two off in the 2000s or so. Okay. The Toronto Raptors. Okay.
35 and a half. They're at 32. They need to win 4 games. That's totally going to happen. Mm-hmm. We did say, you know, with these changes, they did manage, you know, instead of getting nothing for Lowry, they got good pieces and they could be this very athletic young team and they could overachieve. I don't think we thought this much overachieving, but they're, you know,
Scotty Barnes just fit well. And also I think we were kind of sour on Pascal Siakam because there were rumors of him being traded like the Warriors. And,
well,
like,
he was injured and you're like, well, he's done. I go, no, he got injured last year and he won't be back, you know, till after the beginning of the season. And you know, who would predict Van Fleet being an all-star?
He's awesome. Like, he's had an awesome year. And I don't want to gloss over Siakam. He's been great for the last few weeks. Like
that's, awesome. But you know, it's one of those what went right for them. Oh, Van Fleet had an all-star year. Nobody would have predicted that.
By the way, who won that trade between Gary Trent Jr. and Norman Powell with Toronto and Portland? I think Toronto won that trade.
Well, you got, you know, they flipped Powell for
nothing.
Money.
Justice Winslow and somebody else. Yeah. Eric
Bledsoe. Utah, 51 and a half. They're at 36. They need to go 16 and 8. That's possible.
I went over because remember they had the best record in the league last year, and I still felt good about it.
And
them.
They brought everyone back, and
the small ball lineup doesn't work anymore. The small ball lineup with Rudy Gay doesn't work because their defense is just not good enough when Rudy Gobert's off the court. Mitchell had a couple of issues. I think he had a concussion that took him out for a good while. But you know, they're pretty good. Like I could see
they're
them going,
good, but
like,
they're not that awesome team we all thought they would be. And now the funny, curious case of the Washington Wizards at the end, the over and under was 32. They're at 27. They're totally good. I think they can win 6 games. This was funny because, you know, we predicted the over. Mm-hmm. And like, oh yeah, they're better because they won the Westbrook trade. They got a full team. They have a bench. They have a team now.
But it felt like they were starting over.
Yeah, I'm like, and the funny thing is I said, I want to take both the over and the under with this team. And it seems like I was exactly right because you watch them. They started off super hot. Then they all of a sudden became a lottery team. And then, you know, the bickering and the infighting and I want my minutes and shots. And it was just funny. So,
and we haven't seen Porzingis yet. So, and also Bradley Beal's out for the season with a wrist surgery. So, but Kyle Kuzma's been great. I got to throw him.
Kuzma's been great. And Kispert has entered the starting lineup and it looks like he might be a solid.
He's 6'6 and he's athletic. Like I liked him when they drafted him. A lot of people look, oh, a white Gonzaga shooter. He's Kevin Pangos. I'm like, no, he's better than that.
And it looks like he might have found a little spot there and he found some minutes
real
quick.
Obvious played better too. I think Wes Unseld Jr. is a good coach.
It went from I have these two super two guards to then I don't have these guards. So the team changed so much around him, and he's just trying to stay ahead, which is super hard for
and stay in the play-in, right?
All right, so let's just quickly get through all our predictions. I predicted Brooklyn over LA on paper. I didn't believe it was going to happen. You predicted Brooklyn over Denver, and you were fully confident in that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't sure about their wins because I knew they were waiting. They had to wait it out for so long for Murray. And then Michael Porter Jr. was just this question mark of, like, can he have the breakout season? And he wound up he hasn't. But now, if Murray and Porter Jr. are back and you got pretty much a fully healthy roster with Jokic in MVP form, I mean, I still feel good about that. Like, I know the Suns are better than them, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to give up on that yet. Brooklyn, yeah, I think I'm done with that one. Brooklyn, I think, Brooklyn's going to make the playoffs. Like, I think they're going to be a threat.
Finals quite easily. It's them, Philly, and Milwaukee, I think, are your top, and Miami will be your final four.
I would
four.
Not count out Miami on that one either, yeah.
But those are your final four, so it's possible. MVP, I said Luka. You said MB. I said Luka over
about that
Jokic.
Yeah, I feel good about that one.
So you bet MB, that's fine. Rookie of the year, I said Cade. You said Jalen because you didn't want to pick Cade.
I don't feel good about that
one. Well, not Cade, like we mentioned, they're going super slow with him, and they're being extra cautious, sort of taking the Zion slow, mm-hmm. slow and steady route, as opposed to Jalen Green, which is just go out and get every bucket you can. Mobley is the rookie of the year. Defensive player of the year, I pick Gobert. You pick Drew Holiday.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming down to Gobert and Draymond Green. But Green's got the injury. Gobert's missed games, but, the thing is, you know what? I didn't realize this. You know what one of the Supermax triggers is that if you win DPOY multiple times. So, mm-hmm. like, Gobert, I mean, not Drew Holiday has had a very nice year. It's just, it's hard for a guard to win defensive player of the
year.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, okay, that's your pick. sixth man, I picked Jordan Clarkson. You picked Tyler Hero.
I hit this one on the nose. I said Tyler Hero's going to win it.
He's not going to win it.
Yes, he is. Who's going to win it?
We shall see.
I don't know a player named We Shall See.
Most improved, I said either Michael Porter Jr. or DeJounte. You picked Jaren Jackson or DeAndre Hunter.
And we both mentioned Jarius Garland, right?
He was in the conversation. Okay, I was just going to say, no comments on our four picks.
No,
completely fine.
I mean, DeAndre Hunter, that's another guy who seems to be made of glass. Jared Jackson Jr., he got the big contract. He defensively, he looks a lot better than he has in previous years. DeJounte Murray's looked great. He's up there. He's in that running too.
But it's Garland.
Well, it's also Morant. Morant might win it. I know that's some people look at that as a cheat because it's like, oh,
you could also give it to DeRozan.
Right. But the thing is, like, Morant has gone from like sophomore year was really good to, oh my God, he might be the best point guard in the league. You know,
coach of the year, I said Spoelstra because I was like, eh, you picked Tyronn Lue.
That's Monty Williams. Monty Williams is going to win that award.
Or Kerr.
Oh, no, I think Kerr was hot, but now it's Monty.
One of those two.
Yeah.
Scoring leader, you said Bradley Beal. I said Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, he was top 10. Lillard was, I think he's 12th. So it's not like they completely fell off, but whatever. Executive of the year, I said, who cares?
Before you get there.
Yes.
Who's leading the league in scoring right now?
Is it Giannis?
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes.
Yeah, so.
Believe it.
Executive of the year, I never picked this because I don't care. You said Atlanta. You were quite wrong on Atlanta.
Okay, let's get to our loosey-goosey predictions that we kind of threw at the end. Yours, you kind of hit on the head. CJ McCollum gets traded by Christmas.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
I was not like, they can't keep this team together. They're not because, like, you know, like I said, the Vegas over and under was like abnormally high. Like, no, the team's going to fall apart. You're going to have to break up this team. They're going to say, we want Lillard. So McCollum will be gone. Okay, right. You said Kat will be so frustrated he will demand a trade.
Didn't happen.
And we both said sort of, neither LA team will be in the finals. So we were both.
We got that one.
It hasn't happened yet, so we can't take the W yet, but it's.
Do you really see Russell Westbrook in the finals?
Did you ever think you'd say, I'll see the Bengals in the Super Bowl?
when Joe Burrow play there, yeah, because I believe in Joe Burrow.
All right, so now let's spend this last 10 minutes or so. So we weren't terrible in our predictions. I'll just wrap that up.
I felt like we batted 500. Like, we got a few wrong. It's almost like the big prediction with LA doesn't make the finals, but Cat demands a trade. We were like half right.
Most of our, there's always going to be teams like Memphis, where it was like in Cleveland, it was just like, oh yeah, we were 100% wrong. But for mostly, we were sort of like, this isn't a terrible choice.
And every season has its unpredictability. They all have their, like, you, especially when we do previews, like, we're all victims of this, where you, like, you talk yourself into it, you prep for it, you look at the previous results and the season before, and you're like, well, this is what should happen. This is how it's going to go. This is what's going to happen if they're all healthy. But things happen. People get hurt. Players get traded. Things sour out. Like, you can't always, like, put your finger on it, but there are some where you just, like, you're never sure, like, if it's gonna click, like Memphis, Golden State, Brooklyn the other way. Like, you just never know.
Okay, speaking of talking yourself into things, this was funny. Again, now let's go to our expansion team, our mm-hmm. Kentucky Colonels.
So we did an expansion draft over the summer, and we decided to revisit this too.
And it is so funny because it was almost immediately outdated because of trades and drafts and mm-hmm. everything we had mentioned,
buyouts.
Buyouts and just this was before the Westbrook trade too. So everything was all, because we're like, one of the points was, would they expose Westbrook mm-hmm. to the, it was just funny. Like, oh yeah, so much has changed in literally 1 year. So, our team was very interesting. Anybody you remember on the team?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay, we took Kristaps.
I also remember that we amnestied Kevin Love.
Yep, we did, which was probably the not a smart choice. We might have picked the worst of the two. Anybody else you remember?
Okay, give me just one. Give me just.
You were so anti this one player.
I remember wanting Bol Bol, and you didn't want me to take him. Or you didn't want to take him from the team because the idea of expansion drive, there's only so many plays you can expose and you can pick certain ones.
Yeah, and to pick him for the sake of picking him wasn't
good. Right, that's how expansion works, right.
He was a center.
Okay.
And you could not stand him.
Tell me who it is.
Mo Bamba.
Dude, Mo Bamba is not going to be with the Magic next year. He's qualifying.
But you were like, he's trash. Why would you take him? And he has not had a terrible season.
He's one of the best shot blockers in the league. His rebounding is good. This is his best rebounding season.
He's currently averaging 10 points, 8 rebounds, and a block and a half.
He also had that game where he hit like 6 or 7 threes in the first half against the Sixers.
You were like, he's a waste of time. He's a waste of money. And he's currently the starting center on our Kentucky
Colonels. The worst team in the NBA, I know.
So here is our team. Bruno Fernando, who
got traded
3 times. But you picked him, I convinced you to take him over Chris Dunn, who was not in the league. So
that was smart. Yeah.
Grant Williams.
Okay.
Smart pick.
Yeah.
Who you wanted Moses Brown and fought hard for Moses Brown. Okay, who was currently not in the league.
I'll take the L on that one.
You were Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Ooh, that would have been a good one if we had him. He's been good for the Warriors off the bench.
We did take him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a good fit.
And we picked him over Kevon Looney.
Yeah, because he had played in the G League for quite a while at Golden State, but every time he played off the bench in Golden State, he seemed to be really good. Like, he seemed to be able to make plays.
No, he was a solid. That's what I'm like. Our team isn't terrible. He's a good player. DJ Augustine.
Contract purposes.
Veteran. Yeah. We're like, we need him because we need somebody like a floor general to teach the young people.
Yeah.
You fought very hard for this person and you had to have him. Okay. I'm not sure if this was the one person you might have used your one override on him.
Okay.
Keelan Martin.
Yep, I did. I liked him because he had played well off the bench for Indiana that season.
Over Jeremy Lamb.
Well, you see.
I don't think it wasn't your. No, you. This was not
Jeremy Lamb's a king now.
Keelan Martin's not in the league.
Not yet. He might be back.
He got cut in January.
That Euro journeyman thing and be back.
But you fought very hard for him, and
I did.
We picked Yogi Ferrer. Harrell, who's not in the league.
Okay.
But he probably wouldn't have made the team anyways. Another good pick of ours, D'Anthony Melton.
Yep. We liked him.
He is probably the star of the he's probably the star of the Colonels right now.
And that's the Kentucky Colonels was the team, the expansion team name. The thing with Memphis is that, and we talked about this, this should have been the first tell that they were probably gonna be better than people expect, is that they had so many good potential players, like who are younger, that we didn't know which one was gonna get exposed.
Oh, they had to expose, I think, three good players because they had 10 people on their contract.
Right, right.
All of which were rotation players.
Right, right.
So that's what happened. And that's why I said this was an interest. This was a fun, experience.
And I remember John Conchar was another one we were thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so like, well, what do you do? Well, you have to let Melton go. Well, why? Because we need to keep Desmond Bane and they're all, you can only protect seven people.
Right.
So, and if you have 11 guys under contract,
and they didn't have a lot. Yeah, exactly. They didn't have a lot of free agents is the point. The more people you have under contract, the more you have to protect. Right.
That's how we got Grant Williams too. Mm-hmm. This was the one you used. Jarrett Culver over Jared Noel.
Over who?
Noel.
Jalen Noel.
Jalen, I'm sorry.
With Minnesota. Yeah, Noel's better. Noel's better.
But you're like, I want to have Culver. Maybe he would have turned it around.
I remember there was a game during the Omicron days where Noel was filling in, and he had a great game. So I think he's good.
Javon Carter.
I think he's with Brooklyn.
Yes, he's with Brooklyn.
But he's not playing much.
Well, no, but it's Brooklyn, and being a point guard in Brooklyn, you're not going to get a ton of. Jamias Ramsey, you were very high on.
Is he still with the Kings, or was he traded?
He was cut.
Oh, that's worse.
Oh, yes. The one thing. I use my, we had one override. Mm-hmm. And I use Mo Bamba because you wanted Dwayne Bacon. Dwayne Bacon's not.
I was always high on Dwayne Bacon to the end.
Till the end. And Mo Bamba.
I remember who he played with, too. He was in Florida State, and he played with Jonathan Isaac.
Udoka Azubuike.
You know, he plays for the Jazz.
He's just a solid big man backup. And then Davis Bertans.
Was that just because it was a contract
an intrigue that led a lot of discussions. Like, well, would you take Westbrook if he was exposed? Well, no, they wouldn't take him because that might be too delicate for his ego.
Well, the rules of the expansion draft, you don't have to take him. Like, you can just skip them all.
We could skip them all, but I'm like, Bertans, I think, could be serviceable and just had a bad place in, if he finds his shooting touch, he would be a good player. Mm-hmm. So with the draft, the way it shook out, I don't think either of us expected of Jalen Suggs to be available in the fifth pick, so obviously we'd take him.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the second round, you wanted Sharif Cooper.
Yeah, I listen, he's still playing. He's still in his rookie year with the Hawks, as the backup point guard. I think he's got a future. Like, I think he'll be good. He played at Auburn. There was a couple, though, that, were right around there that were like, man.
We didn't even discuss this. It was sort of just a throwaway thing, and I didn't. Brought it back.
Right.
Like, well, no, we can't take, this person because we know he turned out good. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who was it late in that second round who went after Cooper where we're like, God, that guy wound up being okay.
Oh, Ayo?
Ayo Dosunmu. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't pick him because he was good. We can't say, well, this undrafted free agent did awesome. No, mm-hmm. We have to go with what happened. It's like, well, no, Sharif sort of slid. Obviously we'd take him. So our depth chart is we got Jalen in the point guard. Melton is our two. Culver is our three. Porzingis four. And Bamba's the five. Coming off the bench, we got, Toscano Anderson, probably our small six man. Bertans and Grant Williams. That's not a terrible, that's better than Orlando.
I think Grant Williams would start, to be honest.
Well, Porzingis would play every game, so I sort of switch back and forth. But yeah. That's not terrible.
No, No. And we said, that was the funny thing. We talked about that at the trade deadline about Porzingis. We said, you know, the moment Dallas gets a chance to let him go, they're going to let him go. And I didn't even think it was going to happen, but it wound up happening where he's in Washington now. But, like, can that team beat the Orlando Magic?
I think so. Porzingis.
It'd be close.
A healthy Porzingis and Mo Bamba is solid. And Jalen, if Jalen weren't in Orlando, I think he'd be better than he is right now.
Porzingis is not damaged goods. Like, I think he could still play.
He's just injured goods, and you can't play him back to back.
The knee injury was worse than people thought, is what I think it was.
Yeah. And like I said, Toscano Anderson is having some good bench moments in Golden State. So if we gave him, you know, 32 minutes and he had starting time, like, that they're not, it doesn't look like a terrible team. It looks like something we could build on.
Yeah, it's a little 1997 Raptors-ish.
It's better than 97 Grizzlies-ish.
Well, I always try to stump people with this, that the Raptors beat Jordan's Bulls twice in the late 90s. Twice.
You know, it wasn't, you know, Charlotte Bobcats bad.
I think we don't have time for this, but I think the worst team I've ever seen was the 2012 Bobcats. That was probably the worst team I've ever seen. That was the one that tanked to try to get Anthony Davis, and they got the second pick, and they picked Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, no, because I remember, like, after we drafted, like, this team is just garbage, and it's just like, no, I don't think they could put in, they'd be in the 20-25 win range.
Do you think they could beat the Knicks?
The way the Knicks are playing, no, anybody, I mean. Portland beat the Knicks, and that was right, and they had nobody.
Well, I didn't even realize this because I didn't even think about it, that RJ Barrett's been out for a little while. I don't know what the injury is. I'd have to look it up. But I think, dude, Barrett's played himself into a point where you have to extend him. You have to. You can't let him walk.
The team is just dysfunctional. That is their problem right now. But we could have made a trade or two. We could have added a nice wing player, and if, you know, some of these guys overachieved, we could have upgraded a little bit. Obviously,
maybe
we'd be
maybe we could have got Kyrie if we just told him, hey, you know, you don't have to get vaccinated if you play for us. Because if we're in Kentucky, we're in Rand Paul country. Yeah, we could get away with that.
I mean, we could have gotten Ben Simmons for two firsts and Jalen. And
yeah,
because that's what they were.
We could listen. Like, people are like, well, you're an expansion team. No one's going to want to play there yet. Really? Because the Brooklyn Nets had just a few players, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving went there. Why? Because they had this fantasy camp idea of, like, what if we played together? We could take over the league. Not so much.
So, I don't think we did that bad.
No.
You're like, oh, I don't want to review.
It's not as bad as, well, because I still had PTSD from the first one when I took Chris Bosh, and he wound up being waived because he couldn't play again.
Yeah, and I built my whole team around Shabazz Muhammad. Yeah, no, we had, but we
old veteran Shabazz Muhammad.
I that was like, I'm gonna, he's gonna over, you know, he's due to make a comeback. And it's sort of the same way we talk ourselves into Ben McLemore for so long. Like, after everybody gave him on year three, we're like, no, he can turn around this next stop. No, this is his time now. And
he's played for Memphis, the Lakers, and the Blazers.
Where else has he been?
I mean, obviously the Kings was where he started. The Rockets? Was he with the Rockets?
I think so.
He's with the Rockets when they traded Harden. So, yeah. Any thoughts about the All-Star Weekend coming up? It hasn't happened yet. It'll be happening by the time they listen to this. But I'm looking forward to that 75 anniversary lineup announced ceremony.
What were your teams again for McLemore?
Lakers, Rockets, Kings, and the current one, the Blazers.
Yep, Sacramento, Memphis, back to Sacramento, to Houston, to the Lakers, and now Portland.
Okay, I got it.
Like,
yeah.
He's been around. It was supposed to be one of those, like, he was going to do it and just never.
And don't forget
I think I picked him too.
And don't forget the lottery Kansas Jayhawk the year before that, Thomas Robinson. Whew. That did not work out.
And then the Jayhawk many years after, Josh Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you're looking forward to with the weekend?
Xavier Henry was another Jayhawk.
Okay, you're just gonna watch highlights of people who wound up being bums in the league instead of the All-Star game. I see what you're
doing. No, the All-Star game, I don't. They don't. If the All-Star game is just literally that's the let's watch the YouTube highlights, because watching 2 hours of Shaq playing point guard and everyone just shooting threes and dunking, and
will James Harden be there?
He'll be there for the ceremony. I would assume
he's gonna get booed. Will LeBron get booed by the Cleveland fans?
He shouldn't.
It'll be nice to see Dirk and Steve Nash, because it's gonna be alphabetical. They're gonna be standing next to each other. Larry Bird's gonna be right next to Vanessa Bryant, who you know, obviously the widow of the late Kobe Bryant. Shaq and Akeem side by side. That'll be cool. Should they wear letter jackets again?
Knowing the NBA, they'll have stupid Nike ones. And
well, they have like celebrities doing introductions, I think.
It's going to be way too long to watch. And then most of them, yeah, you know,
you know what it reminds me of? You remember when Michael Jordan had his last All-Star game and Mariah Carey sang for him in that Chicago, that very tight Chicago Bulls dress?
Yeah,
I remember that. No, I know you remember that. The only other one that's interesting is that Chris Paul, like, which jacket will he wear if he has to wear one? The Suns?
I would assume so, because he plays for them now, but...
I know, but you know what I'm saying. Like, for example, Carmelo Anthony, you got to wear a Knicks one, right?
Yeah, he's going to wear a Knicks. He should, but they're not, you know, it's... You'd think active players should wear the team they're currently actively on. That's
and Dominique Wilkins at the end. I mean, well deserved.
Oh, it's just going to be, you know, with we'll just say the quick awkwardness. Is Bill Walton going to be standing next to Russell Westbrook? Are they alphabetically next to
Jerry
each other?
West? Jerry West? No, Jerry West will be in the middle.
Okay.
Maybe he'll get his tickets back. I don't know. We didn't talk about this, but the Lakers took away his tickets because he works for the Clippers now.
Yeah.
And he's like, he had like an old man yells at cloud moment where he complained about it. Maybe John Stockton could get his back from Gonzaga, his alma mater.
All right. So any final thoughts about all this recap going down memory lane from the summer?
I feel like it's just like a microcosm of pretty much every single NBA preview that you'll ever listen to. Is like, There's some nuggets of truth in there, but there's a whole lot of ones that you swing and you miss at. But, you know, it's just like the NBA in general. Like, some people think that all these teams have master plans. They really don't. It really just comes down to one or two things. And if it hits right, then you look like a genius. And if it goes wrong, it goes way wrong. That's all.
All right, then. Well, for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Enjoy the All-Star game.